Okay, so we are going to launch into this morning. I was, over the course of camp, the guys who are campers won't know this, but the leaders do know this. So over the course of camp, the leaders meet every morning and we do some devotional time together. So kind of what you do in Encounter at night, we do as leaders first thing in the morning. And so for the week of camp, I put together some of the teaching material for the leaders in the morning. And basically, what we did in the morning was, the series was called The F Words. I realised that at the start of the week that all of the mornings and all of the teaching in the morning, every word we were looking at in the morning was starting with the letter F. And so what I'd said to the leaders on the first day was, the leaders' teaching this week to you is brought by the letter F. And then somebody said, oh, does that mean that we're going to do F words every morning? And I said, well, yes, you could think of it like that. So we've done a whole series on F words. We've done nice F words, but we've done a whole series on F words. And we realised by the time we got to the end of the week, if the leaders didn't remember anything else, they would remember that we'd done a series on F words in the morning. But here are the F words that we had been looking at over the course of the week. We looked at family, first of all. We looked at what it means to be family. We looked at what it means to be gathered into the household of God and what that means and how we relate to each other. Then we looked at friendship. And we looked at how Jesus prays for his disciples. And he calls them into the same relationship that he has with the Father. We looked at fear and fight, because by the time we got to Tuesday, some of us were feeling a little fearful and feeling we had to do a bit of fighting. So by the time we got to there, we looked at fear and we looked at fight. And we looked at how the battle that we have is not against flesh and blood, but it's actually against principalities and powers. And one of the big shifts in camp this year was in the way we prayed. And it actually mirrors what we're doing in the church. So in church, we've been thinking lots about not going and begging God for stuff, but actually moving into a new season where we start declaring stuff and we start calling stuff into being. And that's what we did at camp. And we started to see real fruit in that. We started to see people who were afraid of things not being afraid anymore. We started to see people who we knew that we'd prayed and interceded for over a long period of time. We actually started to declare things over them, and we started to see things shift. And that was really encouraging for us. So as a team, we started to pray in a different way. Then we looked at failure. We looked at, well, what happens when we mess up? And we looked at the life of Peter. We looked at how Peter blew it dramatically with Jesus. And we looked at how Jesus then reinstated him. And one of the things that I was saying to the guys was, as I read it, I saw something that I've not seen before. You know how sometimes we talk about when somebody's done something really that's really hurt us, and we say things like, well, do you know, when they say sorry, then we'll make up and that'll be fine, and when they acknowledge that they've done something wrong. And do you know, I searched and searched and searched and searched in the story of Peter, and I can't find anywhere in the story of Peter where Peter goes to Jesus after he denies him and says to him, Jesus, I'm really sorry, can you forgive me? I can't find anywhere where he does that. But yet Jesus comes in and he reinstates Peter, because actually Jesus looks beyond what's on the outside and he sees the attitude of the heart turning. And we started to think about what that meant for us. Does that really mean that we can be honest with each other? Does it really mean we can be vulnerable with each other? What does it look like if we start to be vulnerable with one another and we start to say, do you know, I'm really sorry, I've messed up with that and I don't know what I was doing with it? And what happens when we do the embrace of Jesus and we do the reinstatement? What happens in community when we do that? And so we talked a bit about that. We talked about Father, and we talked about our relationship with Father God. We talked about the intimacy that Father God wants to draw us into. We talked about that place. We talked about the fact that sometimes there are walls with us, and sometimes we put those walls up and we don't let Father God in, or we let him in so far and no further. And we were encouraging one another to let the walls down and allow Father God to do with us and to interact with us in whatever way he wanted to. And then yesterday, before we left, the last F word for camp was fruit. And we were looking at a funny passage for that. We looked at the Ecclesiastes passage for that in terms of seasons. There's a season for this and a season for that and a season for the next thing. And there's a season for fruit. And in the cycle of a year, there's a season for fruit. And you get fruit grown at a particular season and not at other seasons. And we talked about how, I talked yesterday about how I just have a real sense that we've shifted season here. We've shifted season in with the children and young people, but we've actually shifted season as a church here. And actually, we've shifted into a season of fruitfulness. And what does that look like? Because you see, if you do the same things in harvest in your garden that you do in springtime, then the fruit will spoil. You actually have to change what you do in the season in order to respond to whatever is happening. And last night, and I had an idea, and Shona and I talked about what I was going to do this morning, and I was going to do another F word this morning, and we will get to the other F word briefly towards the end. But I sat last night, and I put the thing together based on what we'd talked about, went to bed last night, had a couple of dreams in the night, which I don't really know that they were significant, but just a couple of dreams that were enough to keep my mind going in the night. Got up this morning and thought, this is the wrong thing to say this morning. And so this is this is rewritten this morning. And I said to Gordon, this will be speed sermon writing this morning because I've got about 20 minutes to write it. And this is what I really think that God is saying to us this morning. We came back last night from camp, and earlier on in the year, we bought a greenhouse, and we've never had a greenhouse before. We're not huge gardeners. If you see our garden, you'll realise we're not huge gardeners. We're really not. But we decided we're going to buy a greenhouse, and we're going to have a go. So we're trying really hard, and we're learning. And before we went away, we'd kind of looked at the greenhouse, and Gordon has managed to set up this amazing, fancy irrigation system so that we don't stop watering it when we go away. And so we'd been away for a week, and when we came back, Gordon had nipped out to the greenhouse, and he said to me last night, have you seen the greenhouse? And he came back in with this from the greenhouse last night. So this is what we came back to in our greenhouse after a week. That, to me, is actually quite a superb courgette, apart from anything else. Maybe not the European Union regulations ones that you get in Tesco, but a superb courgette nevertheless. And so I went out to the greenhouse this morning and had a look at the greenhouse, and here's what our greenhouse looks like. Our greenhouse, you can't actually see the bottom of it. There's so much that has actually grown. There are beans on the beans. The big plant that looks like the Day of the Triffids at the back is the courgette plant, and you can see there are still yellow flowers on it. There's more fruit to come in that. There's flowers that haven't started to fruit yet, but there's one of them that's halfway along that's already fruit, and that's just in a week we've been away. That's all it is. It's only been 1 week that we've been away. I want to let you see the second picture, this one. These are vines that the kids bought us in May. And, go the other way. Okay, these are vines, and where the arrows are pointing, that's how big they were when we got them. And if you have a look, if you click, Danny, those arrows should move, I think, with any great... Hey, there we go. Look how far they've grown. They've actually doubled in size since May. And as I looked at them this morning, and I thought about that this morning, I thought, actually, the garden is showing us what is happening in the spiritual realm as well. And the natural is parodying the spiritual. This is a new season of fruitfulness. The fruit is here. It's not, we're not waiting for it anymore. It is actually here. And I want to invite you to declare with me this morning that the fruit is here, and actually to start living in the knowledge that the fruit is here. I want to read a passage for you. Now, this is a passage that we used in Encounter during the week. And so you guys who were at Encounter through the week at night time, you'll recognise this. The passage is from John 15, and I haven't got it on the PowerPoint. If you want to come out and find it, that's okay. If not, I'll just read it. It's from the NIV. It's John 15. And we're starting at verse 1. And this is what Jesus says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It really is a new season of fruitfulness. And I know that it was Dave that did that. It was you that did this at Encounter, wasn't it? Yeah. When Dave spoke at Encounter through the week about this, he talked about the vine, and he talked about the vine being the central bit and us being the branches coming off it, and how we need to be grafted into that. We need to stick close. We need to be attached to the vine, otherwise the branches won't bear fruit. And that's the case. It's the case in my greenhouse. It's the case on the trees outside or anything else. Unless it's attached to the main plant, it's not going to bear fruit. If I cut a bit off and I stick it in the ground over there, I'm not, even I know, as a rubbish gardener, even I know that that's not going to be good. It's not going to work. This is a new season of fruitfulness. You've already seen fruit in your life at camp this week. You've already seen God do stuff. The testimonies that we've heard this morning, we had already seen fruit from that. It's a new season of fruitfulness for us as a church as well. And I believe also that with the new season of fruitfulness, there are also increasing levels of favour. And that's the final F word for this week. There are increasing levels of favour in this new season of fruitfulness. And I want to try and explain to you what favour is. Favour is one of these funny words that it's really difficult to define. I looked it up in the dictionary, and actually the dictionary wasn't an awful lot of use because it doesn't capture the full panorama of favour. So I want to tell you very quickly about three people in the Bible and three people who we see favour on their lives, because that's sometimes what we talk about. So the first one is King David. Here he comes. King David, and the favour that was in David's life, he was actually the most unlikely king. So when the prophet was told to go to David's father's house and find the next king of Israel, he asked David's father to bring out all his sons. And these strapping big lads appeared out that looked as if they were probably king material. And they were all paraded in front of the prophet. And every time the prophet looked and said, okay, God, is it this one? And God would say, no, it's not that one. And then he would say, is it this one? And he would say, no, it's not that one. And they went through them all, and eventually they got to the end, and he said to David's father, Jesse, he said to him, have you not any more? Is this it? Because God's saying it's not, but I'm sure God said it was your family. And David's father said, well, do you know, there is one more, but he's just a wee boy, and he's out in the fields with the sheep. And I suppose David was sitting with his harp, singing away to himself, doing whatever David did in the field with the sheep. He was just a wee boy. And when David came out in front of the prophet, God said, that's him, that's the one. Because you see, the favour of God rested on David. And it didn't matter that David didn't look like who he was meant to look like. It didn't matter that he didn't look on the outside like king material, because the favour of God rested on him. And I want you guys to hear this morning, whether you were at camp, whether you're a camper from camp, a leader from camp, one of the church family here, somebody here for the baptism, actually, the favour of God rests on you, because he's chosen you and his hand is on you, and the favour of God rests on you. And you might not look like the favour of God rests on you, you might not even feel like it, but actually we're in a new season of declaration. And I'm declaring this morning that the favour of God rests on you. It really does. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. You can be the tiniest, diddiest mini camper who doesn't really look like God's going to do very much through, because you're tiny and you look as if you're a bit insignificant. But that's how David looked as well. And the favour of God rested on him. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Joseph. Do you know Joseph, the guy with the multicoloured dream coat? If you know the musical, Joseph is the guy who had all the dreams, who got into a bit of a stoosh with his brothers. His brothers didn't like him very much, took him, threw him in a pit, and then life kind of looked as if it was going downhill from there. And for Joseph, it looked as though all the odds were stacked against him. He was taken away, he was taken captive, he was thrown in jail, he was falsely accused. It looked as if everything stacked up against Joseph. But you know, the favour of God was on Joseph. And actually, as the favour of God was on Joseph, it didn't matter what was going on the outside, because the favour of God would come to pass and would gazump anything that was going on the outside. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're sitting there thinking, look at my life, seriously, favour of God on me, I want to encourage you. Joseph was thrown in a pit. Joseph was put in jail. Joseph was falsely accused. And the favour of God was on Joseph's life. And in actual fact, it did come to pass. And I want to encourage you to dig in this morning. If you're looking at your life thinking, favour, what favour? I want to encourage you to dig in. There is a new season of favour and a new season of blessing and a new season of fruitfulness. And that's not just for me and it's not just for the select few in here. It's actually for all of us. Fruit and favour. Let's look at the last one, Esther. Here she, I couldn't get a really interesting picture. You know, you Google Esther and there's not an awful lot comes up that's very interesting. Esther was a young girl, a young Jewish girl, and she was part of the king's household. She was one of the king's wives. And in the story of Esther, there was a decree put out against the Jewish people, and actually the Jewish people needed Esther's help to go to the king to ask the king for favour. Now, if you know the story and you know the setup, you know that for the wife of the king to go to the king of her own accord was a really dangerous thing to do. Because if the king took umbrage, he could have her killed. Because you just didn't do that. You had to wait to be called to the king and not to simply go and stand in there and go and put yourself in there. But Esther believed that it was for such a time as this that she was there. That's what she heard, that she was there, she had a job to do and she needed to do it. And so Esther went to the king and so did the favour of God go with Esther. Esther went to the king and said to the king, I need to talk to you. And the king said, yeah, come and talk to me. She went somewhere where she had no right to be and she had no right to say what she went to say. But actually, favour rested on Esther, God's favour rested on her. And not only did she have favour with God, she ended up having favour with the king as well. So three characters in the Bible, and there's lots more. We could be here forever looking at all the characters where God's favour rested on them. And God's favour didn't rest on them because they were so equipped or so good or so mighty or so whatever. God's favour rested on them because he chose them. God's favour rests on you because he's chosen you. And that's the bottom line. His favour rests on you because he's chosen you. You're already favoured because he's chosen you. And actually, sometimes our lives just need to catch up with what the reality of what the spiritual reality is. Here are four things about favour that I see in these stories, just to finish. Four things about favour. Favour, it's all about God and it's not about us. We can't do anything to be favoured. We are favoured just because he is our Father and he holds all the cards and he wants to pour on us. It's all about God. It's not about us. It was all about God with David. It was all about God with Joseph. It was all about God with Esther and with everybody else. Favour as well. There's a thing with favour about hanging on in there. Sometimes in the midst of it, we're inclined to give up and to partner with the lie that we're not really favoured and that actually God does it for everybody else and he doesn't do it for us. And we've heard that testimony this morning about God speaks to everybody else, but he doesn't speak to me. God's speaking all the time and God does want to break through in your life and in my life. And sometimes we have to just hang on in there. Sometimes we really have got to persevere and hang on in there and it will come to pass. That's what happened with Joseph. It was years, and Joseph dug in and dug in and dug in, and in actual fact, there really was favour for him because he refused to partner with the lie that said God will not break through in this. He refused to partner with the lie that said God's not going to come through on this. He refused to partner with the lie that said God's not with you. The bottom line is that sometimes we need to hang on in there. The third thing about favour is that we actually need to be obedient. And sometimes the favour only comes when we step out and we do what God's asked us to do. So for Esther, if Esther had sat and waited for God to come and somehow supernaturally speak to the king, it would never, well, who knows, maybe it would have happened. But actually God called Esther and Esther had to partner with him. And sometimes we need to be obedient. Sometimes we need to actually do what God's asking us to do because he's looking for us to partner with him. Sometimes that involves us stepping up when we don't really want to step up. The story I was going to use this morning was the story of the wee boy's lunch and how the wee boy, when the crowds were hungry and the disciples were looking for something for them to eat, the wee boy stepped up and said, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. On its own, that looked like nothing, but actually with the favour of God and a miracle from Jesus, it did look like enough to feed with lots left over. Sometimes we've actually just got to be obedient. And thinking about that wee boy again, sometimes we've got to be prepared to be vulnerable. Can you imagine, and those of you at camp, imagine if you'd all gathered in the dining room and I'd come out and said to you, okay, we don't have anything to eat. Who's got something to eat? And somebody had produced a packet of crisps and somebody had produced a couple of cola bottles and said, will this do? Can we all eat this? Everybody would have laughed because it's like, don't be ridiculous. That doesn't look like enough. But you see, the wee boy who brought his lunch and said, the wee boy chose to make himself vulnerable. He chose to say, do you know, this is all I've got, but will it do? And sometimes in terms of God's favour, in terms of God's blessing, and in terms of fruit as well, sometimes we need to be prepared to make ourselves vulnerable. Sometimes we need to be prepared to look silly. And just at the point where we think this is all going very wrong, God comes in. There's the favour, there's the blessing, and there's the breakthrough. Whoever would have thought that we could go to Aviemore when everywhere round about it was tipping it down with rain, and we could have a week of sunshine where people were texting saying, you must be having a terrible week because it was raining everywhere else. We had blue skies and sunshine, and you saw the photos and water sports. Do you know? God's favour on something. And just when it looks as if it's all going to go wrong, there it is. And he steps in and he does this stuff. I want to encourage you this morning, folks. We really are in a new season and we are living under the kiss of heaven. I want to just very quickly let you see a wee video. This is an old song. It's an old Darlene Check song. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. The words are coming up as she sings it. We'll just have a wee bit of it. We really are in a season where we are living under the kiss of heaven. You are as an individual, we are as a church, and I believe we are as a country as well, living under the kiss of heaven. We actually just need to embrace it. We need to position ourselves for that favour, for that blessing, and to realise that the fruit is already here. We're not waiting for it anymore. We're not sowing and tending the land anymore. The fruit is actually here, and we need to know what to do with it. We need to shift gears, and we need to work with it in a different way. Let's take a wee quick look at this, and then Alan's going to
never be the same again. Dancing a new dance in your Holy Spirit rain. Your breath of life has overwhelmed me and set my spirit free. I'm living a new life underneath your morning.
The volume down a wee bit and let it keep running. It can run behind me with the volume down a wee bit. Do you know, for you guys who made commitments at camp this week, it really is a new race. You know, you're in a new race now. I want to encourage you to run it. I want to encourage you to run it and run it under the kiss of heaven, run it under the favour of God, run it with his blessing, because actually that's what's there for you. For us as a church, I want to encourage us too. We're in a new race. Run the race. Start running in a different way, because actually we are living under the kiss of heaven. The season has shifted. The season has changed. We really are living under the kiss of heaven and running with the favour of God. Let me pray for us, and then Alan's going to come up. Father, I thank you for season shifts. I thank you, Father, that we have seen such fruit in this past week. Thank you, Father, for the lives that have changed. Thank you for the lives that have turned round. Thank you, Father, that you have not left us, but you've been right in the middle of it with us. And Father, I thank you that there are still questions around for many of us. There are still things around that aren't sorted out. But Father, I thank you that this is a new season, and it's a season of favour and a season of blessing. So, Father, we position ourselves now. We declare that over our own lives. We declare it over the lives of our families. We declare it over the lives of our church, our community, and beyond. Father, that this is a season of fruit and a season of favour, and we position ourselves to receive that. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you that this is all about you. So we invite you to come, to pour, to do whatever it is you want to do, and to let us see that we really are living under the kiss of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.